You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name's Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland, senior pastor and elder of Believers Baptist Church, and one of the other elders of Believers Baptist Church, Philip Castleton. And Philip, you have a couple of sons that maybe you can have some relation to what we're going to talk about with this subject today. But I know that you guys have a dynamic in your family that's unique to you know, it's not a familiar dynamic to other people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I don't know if it's not familiar. I have three sons, inevitably. The Lord has given me three.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Well, that's okay, but yeah. I have two. One of them, my youngest, has Down syndrome, and he'll probably be with us forever. I have two that are grown and moved out. One is engaged, soon to be married, and we've taken on the goal of building him a home, hoping that he can start his new married life without the strain of a house payment. So we've taken on building a home, and that's... You're talking about him not having a strain has put an awful lot of strain on me, but it's all good. But talking about a dynamic, it hasn't always been as favorable as that we would want our son to live right next door, and he would want to live right next door. So I'm grateful for the grace that God has seen fit to show us.
So you're building right next to your house.
It's about 300 or 400 yards away, but it's okay. On our property.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, I don't have to see it from my house, but it's there. Yeah. I'll have to drive past it on the way out my drive.
Oh man, that's pretty interesting. I know when I got out of college, I lived with my parents for a little bit, just until I could find something. And you know, it's hard for males to get along sometimes, you know?
It sometimes is. In fact, we've teased him because right now him and his younger brother, they have a house they're renting together, and that when he gets married, we've been teasing my oldest Creed. We've been teasing him that telling him we're going to have to make at least a 2-bedroom so that his brother can move in with him, you know. And my wife said, no, I think we're going to end up getting Cade back.
Oh, that's funny. Well. You know, we just mentioned that it's hard for males to get along, especially brothers sometimes can be hard on each other. And that kind of brings us to the question today. Who was Cain afraid would take vengeance on him, and who are these people? And I don't know if we should start with a little bit of backstory for those who may not be familiar to this story. I know it's a pretty prominent story in the Bible, but Jason, do you want to kind of hit on that a little bit?
Well, let's start in Genesis chapter 4, just beginning in verse 1. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. So we have these two brothers who are born, and the rest of the story of chapter 4 is how these two boys, these two sons of Adam, were given instruction on how God should be worshipped. What is the acceptable way to worship God? And we did an earlier podcast that spoke to this very issue when we did a podcast on worship. But nevertheless, what has happened is Cain has come and offered worship that was not acceptable because he did not bring it in faith, as Hebrews 11:4 tells us that Abel brought his offering in faith. As a result of that, Cain got angry at God. And this is what happens a lot of time, by the way, when we address worship and what God accepts and what God does not accept, and yet we insist on doing it the way that we want to, we get angry about it. Mm-hmm. And Cain, in this story, got angry, and he wound up murdering his brother. And then subsequent to that, in chapter 5 of Genesis, this is the book of the generations of Adam when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And so now we have a third son by name that's mentioned in the story of Adam and Eve. And just recently, last few days, I saw a Facebook post that someone had made that said Adam and Eve had three sons, implying if Adam and Eve had three sons, how is this story true that everybody are descendants of Adam and Eve, and how are we created in the image of God? It's a question of all of that. But here we have these three sons, and I guess the question goes back to that, who was Cain afraid of, because what happened after the murder of his brother Abel?
Well, he kills his brother, and he's marked by God. He's, in essence, cursed by God, but he's marked by God to keep people from taking vengeance on him. So the question would be, who would those people be that might take vengeance on him? Well, if we go back to chapter 5, even after he has Seth, in verse 4 it says, the days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So it's not that they only had three. They had many, many more children after that. The assumption that people make when they read this text is that they had no children before Cain or Abel. That's not given to us in the text. They could have had children before Cain and Abel. Adam lived 900 and something years. He was 130 years before he had Seth and had many more children after that. So the assumption is that there's only three. No, there could have been children before Cain and Abel. There could have been children between Cain and Abel. There could have been children between Abel and Seth. We know for sure there was children after Seth. So all that being said, we don't know if Cain, for example, these people he might have been afraid of after committing this horrific sin, if he lived 70 years, 130 years, he could have lived 800 years. The Bible doesn't tell us. So if he lived, let's just assume he lived somewhere in the middle. Adam lives 930 years. Let's assume he lives 400 years. How many generations of people could have been born and raised up and had children and raised up and had children and raised up and had children? The assumption the text does make when it says that he was in fear for his life is that by the time that this sin happens, there are many generations of people on the earth. Mm-hmm. So the assumption is that Adam and Eve started having children probably pretty soon after they were created. In fact, you can only imagine that to be the case. They were created perfect, and the sexual union would have been not a derogatory or negative thing. They would have come together, and God blessed their union. I would argue that any children born were probably born after the fall, because all men inherited a sin nature from Adam. So I think that we could exclude any children born before the fall. But all the children born after the fall doesn't preclude the fact that some could have been born before Cain, after Cain, after Abel, before Seth, and even after Seth. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think that to answer the question, we have to say that the people that Cain was afraid of were brothers and sisters, because, as you said, Adam lived 930 years, Seth lived 912 years, Enosh lived 905 years. These are the patriarchs in the early chapters of Genesis. In fact, I read somewhere, and it was in an Answers in Genesis material, that says that the average age of the patriarchs in the early chapters of Genesis was 700. Mm-hmm. So likely even Cain lived 700. But the question is, why was he fearful? This is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 14. This is Cain's language or speech back to God when God pronounces the punishment on him. And he says, "Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." And so the question then is, why would these people kill him?
Well, interesting enough, isn't it interesting that in the beginning, when Eve, what is the temptation that the devil comes? He comes to Adam, or he comes to Eve, and he says, "In the moment that you eat of this, you'll know
good and evil."
Good and evil, right? They weren't aware of evil. They weren't aware of evil prior. They had only known good. They had only known upright living. They had only known obedience to God. It wasn't until after they sinned that they knew evil experientially. Now we've got a situation where their son has committed this crime, and his own conscience is knowing evil, mm-hmm. and is afraid. He's projecting, if you will, upon his brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews the very same guilt that he is guilty of. So I think that's an amazing thought.
So you're saying that what he is fearful of is not so much that there might be a literal murder against him, a revenge kind of murder, though that would be possible. What you're saying is that his guilt has caused him to project upon others their intent to kill him.
Yes, I think he's aware in that moment that the heart is evil, that his heart is evil, and therefore he recognizes that that same evil lurks in each of them. Therefore, he's not the only one capable of doing what's been done.
Right.
Now, we do believe that real harm is in the equation, because the Lord actually protects him by marking him so that no one will kill him. So we do believe that that is in the equation, but it's strange to think that all of a sudden he's aware that evil lurks, not only in him, but in his neighbor. Mm-hmm.
And this goes to a text in Romans chapter 2, where Paul is talking about God's judgment and the law, and he says in regard to people and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So it goes back to
conscience. Yeah, his own conscience was bearing witness at this point that he was guilty.
Right.
Right.
So we have to think, though, the brothers and sisters of these three that are named for us, so that the population of the earth is expositionally growing. I mean, there's rapid growth here in terms of births. And part of that reason is because the gene pool, if you speak in those ways, would not be as contaminated by sin, or at least sin would have the effect of it would become greater as time went.
Yeah, the cumulative effect of sin maybe wasn't as great at that time as it what we might know now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So that now we've got not only the ability to reproduce and fertility at its maximum, but we also have a long extended lifespan in which they're having children at 130 years, or even Lamech had a son at 182 years old.
Well, and he says he lived 800 years and had many more children. So we're not told. He might have had his last one at 680. Mm-hmm. We're just not told.
Right. So the point is that the population is made up of the children of Adam and Eve intermarrying with brothers and sisters, which is not a violation of anything that God had said to that point.
That's right.
Because that comes in the law of Moses given to the nation of Israel, the idea of incest and intermarriage with family, which the pagans were doing. Mm-hmm. That's why God would give the law to the Israelites not to do this.
To make them distinct, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the idea then that Cain is fearful of brothers and sisters because people would question, well, who do these people, where do they come from if everybody begins with Adam and Eve?
Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.